A 45% profit surge should have been cause for celebration. Instead, Emily Gardner found herself sitting across from her CEO, listening to words that shattered her understanding of success. She'd slashed costs, optimized operations, and delivered results that earned her industry recognition. Yet Don Jenkins wasn't congratulating her. He was removing her from her position at Pinafore Global's San Diego property. The reason? She'd abandoned the Pinafore way. Employee turnover had doubled, guest satisfaction plummeted, and community programs vanished. Her spreadsheets showed triumph. Her workplace showed something else entirely. Rather than firing her, Don offered an unusual assignment: 6 months interviewing leaders across America who embodied generosity. If successful, a newly created role, Chief Generosity Officer, could be hers. Emily's skepticism was immediate. Was this elaborate termination theater? Yet as Don reminded her of her own vision statement from 3 years prior, one emphasizing supporting others' growth and creating lasting impact, the disconnect became undeniable. She'd optimized herself right past her own values. What if generosity wasn't a soft virtue, but a strategic superpower she'd been ignoring? Generosity isn't just morally admirable. It's neurologically rewarding and evolutionarily advantageous. Brain scans show the orbital frontal cortex activating during equitable sharing, creating pleasure even when fairness costs us personally. Each generous act triggers dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins, the distinctive helper's high. In workplaces, compassionate leadership reduces exhaustion and absenteeism while increasing retention. Research tracking careers over 14 years found generous individuals advanced further than aggressive ones. Health benefits include longer life, reduced blood pressure, lower stress, and maintained cognitive function. For older adults, volunteering increases physical activity by 110% compared to just 12% for non-volunteers. Perhaps most powerful, one generous act can inspire someone 3 degrees removed, potentially influencing hundreds. But what exactly is generosity? Generosity is any act of kindness or support given without expectation of exchange or return, Jack Pinnell told Emily. This definition exploded her assumptions. Generosity wasn't limited to philanthropic galas. It encompassed being kind when you're in a bad mood, showing a new hire around when your desk overflows, or simply having a thoughtful conversation. Will Little emphasized that true generosity extends beyond money to include time, presence, and belief in others. Yet several interviewees cautioned against confusing generosity with self-destruction. After a health scare, Pinnell realized he couldn't do good in the world if he weren't alive to do it. Exceeding personal limits isn't generosity, it's martyrdom that prevents sustainable giving. Andre Durand offered perhaps the most provocative definition. Generosity is believing in someone when there is no reason to believe, followed by trust where there is no reason to trust. Mike Kaplan's Aspen Skiing Company empowered employees through guided self-discovery training, staff and values, then trusting their judgment. When a lift broke for 45 minutes, Ski Patrol handed out $50 snow coupons at the top, turning disasters into loyalty-building moments. Rather than firing underperformers, SkiCo found the right role for each person. Tom, a frowning ticket seller who received complaints, thrived in a supervisory role, becoming a valued mentor over 30 years. Andy Hill transformed his company with a vivid vision, including 4 weeks paid time off from day one, a week of paid volunteer time, and no dress code. Hill believes generosity cannot coexist with excessive control. Companies lose energy when they stop believing in employees' generous spirit. Christopher Graves distinguished between transactional people who expect returns and relational people who help for its own sake. When hiring managers, he tested candidates by asking about former colleagues' current activities. Those who struggled typically viewed relationships transactionally. These examples demonstrated that generosity wasn't just personal virtue, but viable business strategy, creating sustainable success through trust. Melissa Dawn Simpkins, one of two Black children in her small Indiana town, learned generosity from hippie parents who opened their home to musicians, abused women, and families in need. Her mother taught her to see diversity as a garden where God made flowers of every color. Will Little's generosity traced back generations. His grandfather, once poor but later successful, prioritized giving back after experiencing extreme generosity himself. Dr. Ayman El Mohandas grew up among Egyptian physicians. His mother, a 1941 medical school graduate who became one of the Middle East's first pediatric neurologists, demonstrated how service brings joy. Glenn Frummer's Jewish upbringing emphasized tzedakah, giving without expectation. His grandfather, Henry, secretly gave his father extra change when selling groceries. Frummer extended this by gathering his family to create a shared philanthropic approach, researching charities and volunteering together with Habitat for Humanity. These stories reveal that generosity begins with family modeling, but can be cultivated through intentional practice at any stage. "The empty cup has little to give," Andre Duran told Emily, a truth validated throughout her journey. True generosity requires self-care as foundation, not selfishness. After losing her terminally ill husband and beloved dogs in quick succession, Sherry Beckstedt experienced severe nerve damage behind one eye, her body's physical manifestation of emotional exhaustion. This crisis taught her that self-care isn't selfish, but essential for resilience. Dr. Beth McQuiston advocated four key pillars: cardiovascular exercise, daily meditation, 7 to 9 hours of sleep, and morning light exposure. Her mental weeds technique involved identifying negative thought patterns and replacing them with positive alternatives. Will Little protected his workout time as religiously as board meetings. Mike Kaplan regularly stepped away from administrative duties to ski with staff and engage with customers, interactions that recharged his emotional batteries. Glenn Frummer's wake-up call came when his father died prematurely at 62, having neglected his health while building a successful business. Andre Durant color-coded his calendar, red for high-drain activities, green for rejuvenating ones, to maintain optimal performance. Self-care wasn't luxury, but strategic imperative. "Your okayness is assured," Andy Hill's therapist told him during his identity struggle. This insight gave Hill courage to leave the Mormon church and come out as gay, ultimately enabling greater generosity toward others. Christopher Graves revealed his upbringing in a low-income Norfolk, Virginia housing project where six family members lived in a tiny cinderblock apartment. Though grateful for his scholarship to prestigious Norfolk Academy, he hid where he lived, walking far from his neighborhood before boarding the school bus. His life changed when third-grade teacher Mrs. Davis and mentor Harvard Knowles believed in him. Sherry Beckstedt advised defining core values, knowing yourself, keeping promises, learning daily, and doing small kindnesses. Dr. McQuiston emphasized authenticity, advising to run your own race rather than following others' tempos. For Hill, okayness means accepting oneself as fundamentally worthy regardless of external judgment. He emphasizes detaching from doubters while trusting that there will always be someone to teach you and somebody to catch you when you fall. Emily overcame parents who made her feel inadequate, discovering her own okayness in college when Cornell accepted her. Emily practiced her new approach at Starbucks, genuinely engaging with the barista, connecting authentically. The simple interaction confirmed how good it felt to see others fully. Sports agent Lee Steinberg pioneered athlete charitable foundations. Troy Eichmann endowed UCLA scholarships. Warwick Dunn helped single parents buy homes. When Glenn Frummer was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease, he created Ride for PKD, a 5,500-mile cross-country bicycle journey that raised $654,000 and connected him with affected families nationwide. Research shows a generous act can inspire generosity in someone 3 degrees removed, potentially influencing hundreds. Unlike artificial intelligence, humans possess genuine generosity, a superpower enhancing both individual well-being and collective progress. The formula is simple. Daily investment in generosity yields great returns. You benefit yourself through generosity toward others without expecting reciprocation. This isn't selfishness, it's wisdom. Perform one generous act daily for 30 days. Journal the effects. Share what you've learned. Watch as the ripples extend outward, transforming not just your life, but the world around you. Because generosity truly wins.